This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of
hope. AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
One little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He paid my heart, he made my heart, and wrote my name and name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn you,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right. I may have doubts and fears, my heart's been filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn you,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turn you,
know a little by.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis 35, verse 1 to 13.
Then God said to Jacob,
"Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau."
So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him,
"Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves, and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone."
So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is, Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakut. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him,
"Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel."
So he named him Israel. And God said to him,
"I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you."
Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked.
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis 35, verse 1 to 13.
What do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin, to join him in hell. Accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. get baptized into a true Bible-believing church, and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit, your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
Hello, cherished listener, you're welcome to You Decide. If you just joined us, you're welcome. We've been discussing the judgment. We have been discussing this topic following the nature of man, rapture, resurrection, and now we are treating the judgment as a different topic in itself. And we hope that from what you're going to say from here, you'll be greatly inspired to decide on whether to prepare for that day or not. Once again, I have with me my abled and seasoned panelists, Pastor A.Y.A. Brent Coker, Michael Akwabua, Isaac Tre, Isaac Efriye is here. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I am your host, Thomas Isaac. Isaac Tre.
Well, I read this about the Catholics' view of judgment to the Catholics. This is how they view judgment. I mean, what we are talking about, or the types of judgment. To them, they have what is called the last judgment. This last judgment is when Christ will come with his angels to give verdict, as Pastor Coker had already mentioned. And then they also have general judgment. This general judgment occurs as soon as one is dead. During this judgment, to the theory, one soul is determined, either the soul, I mean the person dead, will go to heaven or purgatory or hell. So the teaching goes on to say that the last judgment, when Christ will come in his glory and all the angels with him, and he will come in a full glory of Jesus Christ, as has already been said. But they say that when Christ is coming, those already in heaven will remain in heaven, and those already in hell will remain in hell, and then those in purgatory will be released into heaven or to hell, depending on how one is judged at, or during the stage or the period known as the general judgment.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you link this with the biblical accounts? Do you think it is in line with it so far, what you've said, or we will get to that one in a due course?
Well, according to what the Bible presents, you see contradictions here.
Isaac Efriye.
Well, I wouldn't want to comment on this just recent one.
Okay.
That one is more of to be solved when we are looking at the timing of the judgment.
Okay.
Because the focus seems to be a judgment right after death, which may somehow be tackled differently when we read it. But my other concern to that of Pastor Coker, more of addition, is that as we mentioned types of judgment, I want listeners to bear in mind we are not talking of necessarily types where at every stage of the judgment a verdict is given and that we see punishment reward here and there, so that at this pre-advent judgment obviously we have people who will be punished or whatever, and that when the saints are also to go through books they will also give punishment or whatever. That is not what it really means, but that we are looking at all these as stages in the judgment or process, part of the judgmental process, where this will take more or less in reflection to that of Ghanaian view of our just recent history, the 5 months period of investigation that the court did. In that same perspective, the pre-advent judgment and the millennium one, they are all to take care of that time period. Still investigation and affirmation whatever going on in the process.
Okay.
The final judgment comes once, and that is the executive judgment,
okay,
where a verdict is given. The idea of judgment in the Bible from the Greek perspective of krisis is to give verdict, and that at once, whether one is shocked or whatever. It's just done within a period, which means all the preliminary stages that led to the conclusion is already done. And that is in the process, as Pastor Kuka was explaining them, as stages involved. So they are not necessarily different types, but that they are all involved in the process of that one ultimate day that we all await.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that one. And I want just to be sure of one thing. With these different stages and different types of judgment that we've just mentioned, they are not going to come with their separate rewards at different levels, right?
Sure.
It's all going to be culminated in just one grand decision or grouping, whether you are saved or you are lost. That's what I get from you.
Sure.
Okay, a quick addition. Michael.
Yeah. I like reading the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse number 1. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The wise man told the youth that whatever you want to do, you can embark it. Do whatever you want. But in a wise saying, from verse 12 of chapter 12 to 14, he tells them that it's because of all these things you are doing that God will bring every single thing you are doing into judgment. Meaning that whatever they are doing, God is having a sight of whatever human beings are doing. God is having a sight of what we are doing. So it's like investigation is still ongoing. Whatever we are doing now is subject to the eyes of the one who is divine, whether secret or plain. So this concept of someone dies, he is in the hill. Someone dies, he ascends to heaven. That thing is not in existence. That is, no one is receiving any reward or punishment as soon as the person dies, or no one is judged as to the particular day he dies. But we all await when he comes to pronounce the deeds of men.
Okay, so in short, we'll be in a state of hibernation or dormancy until Jesus comes, and everybody, whether you are alive or dead, are judgment to be given. Pastor, well, you want to...
Yes, let's get it clear. The idea is, let us know that we are judgment-bound people.
Okay.
All of us are judgment-bound. And the judgment is certain. So, when you read Acts 17, 30 and 31, it says, God has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the whole world. And he has given this judgment to Jesus Christ, that there is a day. So, all of us, everybody, and that is what Michael was pointing out. Whether you are dead or alive, whether you are for Christ or against Christ, know that whatever decision you take, or indecision, action or inaction, it culminates to judgment. Whatever we do, we will actually account. I think Romans 14 says, we shall all appear before the judgment seat. Just like Paul said in Corinthians, we shall all appear before the judgment seat. So, it is something we must have in mind. When I am doing anything, planning anything, whatever I'm doing, let me know. And the fact is, because of the uncertainty of life, even if I die, I shouldn't think that there will be another chance for me to say, oh Lord, I should have done it this way. Whatever I'm doing, I should know that it is leading to me be on one side. In some portion of the Bible, it talks about the separation. There will be the sheep and the goat. Just now, let them grow together. But there will be a time when they will separate the wheat and the tares. And that is what we must have in mind, that judgment is certain, it will come. And so whatever we are doing, we should have in mind that it is either going to make us be among those who will spend eternity with Christ, or those who will be lost in hell.
Wow. So a time will be coming for the separation, just as we have to separate our break time and our speaking time. So we'll go on a short break. Now I am your host, Thomas Isaac, thank you very much for coming today, my abled and seasoned panelists.
It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you.
It was the truth.
It was nothing but the truth, and it's all that you can do.
Only truth. Loving truth. Loving truth.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
Celebration is on the way, my friend. Son of my God, to listen. All of the faithful and true rise in Jesus' name. Broken hearts will be restored. Promises were not in vain, oh.
If you can believe
there is a God who loves you,
then you can receive
what your heart desires.
If you can believe,
He is waiting to bless you and take you to mansions escaping the fire.
You will see Jesus in all of His glory.
He has prepared a place for you and me.
We can rejoice now in telling His story.
Finally, home in that land,
lifting our voices and praising our God who
cares. Our God who
cares. Won't it be grand when He takes us away there?
What a day,
oh, what a day that will be.
Portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you. And for
hello, my dear listener. You are welcome to Moment of Truth. You have been listening to a series of lectures from Dr. Koranting Pipim. Today we present a concluding part of a sermon on Count the Cost.
Jesus says, count the cost. Before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of primitive godliness as has not been witnessed since apostolic times. The Spirit and power of God will be poured out upon His children. Before Jesus comes, there is going to be a revival as has never been seen since the time of the apostles. God's Spirit is going to be poured out upon people who have really, totally surrendered all and want to be His true disciples. But notice what Satan is going to do. Before this event happens, there's going to be a counterfeit. Listen, by the way, what does it take for this revival to come about? Great Controversy 478, Ellen White says, it is only as the law of God is restored to its rightful position that there can be a revival of primitive faith and godliness amongst His professed people. There will be a revival in the last days. But notice, what will bring about this revival? It is only as the law of God is restored to its rightful place. Once you start seeing the spirituality of the Lord, the 20 questions, suddenly it hits you, God is that serious. Then you say, Lord, I need help. It is this that drives you on your knees. Your prayer life changes. Your thinking changes. You notice that, Lord, I've been dressing so shabbily to expose people to danger. Lord, I don't need this. Give me power. You clean your closet. It is as the law of God is restored to its rightful place that there can be a revival of primitive faith and godliness. So ethics is needed. Would it save you? No. It points to you what God expects, what He prescribes, how He wants you to grow tall. And then, how? Spirituality. You cannot go to a seminar on spirituality. By the way, we have a seminar here on spirituality. Fascinating lectures. After this, go and get the tapes on spirituality. But for spirituality to be meaningful, you must understand ethics. Because why should you pray? You think you are okay. Why should you have your morning devotion and memorize scripture? You think you are okay. So if you study spirituality without ethics, sooner or later it becomes formality. Because you don't realize you have a problem. There is a cancer in the heart, which is about to kill you. See, if you have cancer in your heart about to kill you, that is not the time you come to church rocking and dancing in the church when you have the sin cancer. And yet, that's what is happening. Many of us are blind. We don't see it. You understand what we are talking about? God wants a revival. But it's for people who are radically committed to doing His will. Could it be that we have not yet fully understood the nature of God's claim upon us? That is the spirituality of the law. The law is spiritual. Everything, including how you eat and dress, everything, when you analyze them, it will come back to the principles of God's law. We read the book of James. He says that anyone who is prejudiced against the other, who is racist, has violated the Ten Commandments. Where is it in the Ten Commandments? I look for it and I'm still looking. But James says it's there, which means there's so much in the law we don't even know yet. Jesus says adultery is not just having a physical act, it's even in the heart. Murder is the anger you cherish against someone and at the appropriate time it blows up. The law is spiritual and we don't realize it. That's why we don't realize we have a problem. So you can come to church and get a bunch of clowns and puppets entertaining ourselves to death when we are actually dying. Spirituality and ethics are both legs of holiness. But ethics reveals to you what God expects. And it will tell you, you cannot do it on your own. You need help. And that is where prayer, your devotional, then you say, Lord, help me every morning to sit at your feet like Mary. Without a complete understanding of the law, we cannot understand the nature and power of sin. And neither can we fully appreciate what God is willing to do for us through the Spirit. I wish I can give you a whole lecture on the Spirit. Many of us don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And yet, He is the personal representative of our Lord Jesus Christ to help us. He can help you overcome every hereditary and cultivated tendency to sin. And He can do it day by day. There can be no true revival unless we restore the law to its rightful position in God's plan of salvation. The law reveals God's true character of love and points out sin. But the law cannot save us. It points us to a Savior. Neither can we keep the law in our own strength. We need His strength. This is why Jesus says, if you love me, if you have a relationship, keep my commandments, ethics. He does this day by day through the enabling power of the Spirit. And He invites you today to totally surrender all to Him. And the question is, have you counted the cost? Do you know your true condition? And are you willing to ask Him to help you? Do you realize that deep down, if the conditions are right, you would kill, you would lie, you would break the Sabbath, you would give up your faith on God? I mean, when we say who to marry, whether a Christian person or not, or whether to eat pork or whatever, where is it in the Ten Commandments? You'll find it in the first commandment, make God first. God should tell you how you eat, how you dress, who you marry. Every single one of the questions are rooted in the Ten Commandments. And the question is, do you understand what God expects? And do you know your true condition? And are you willing to ask Him to help? If that is your wish, I would invite you to bow your heads for prayer. Father, we are only now beginning to count the cost. Forgive us. The scales are slowly being removed from our eyes. Little did we know that we have a problem, and like Cain, sin lies at the doors of our heart. Father, we invite you this very moment to take full control of our lives. Help us, Lord. We can't help ourselves. We need your help. And help us to start appropriating the gifts you have placed at our disposal. A daily study of your word, meditation, good quality music, prayer life, and all the other graces. Thank you for the assurance that you are now in control. And because you are in control, it will be well with us. Our sins can be forgiven. We'll be given strength to overcome our various weaknesses, hereditary and cultivated. Thank you so much for your word. Keep speaking to our hearts and keep us faithful even unto death. For we ask in Jesus'
name. You've just been listening to Dr. Quentin Pippin's sermon.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.